Welcome to Legend Lore with Luis and Lauren, where we talk about Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
I'm Luis, and I'm a developer at Paizo working on the Pathfinder Lost Omens line. I've been playing tabletop RPGs for over 15 years, and I've written for dozens of Pathfinder products. I'm also the GM for Valiant, and I write the Monsters Physique blog here on the No Direction Network.
And I'm Lauren. I've been playing RPGs for almost 20 years. I write the Bend the Knee blog here in No Direction, and you can also watch me play in the Adventurous and Three Ring Adventure podcasts. And this week, hoo-wah! We're talking about the monk, baby!
All right, before we get started, we want to say that although we know a lot about what we're talking about when it comes to Pathfinder, we want to remind you that we're not providing any kind of official answers. We're here to offer advice, and you can use it however you like. Remember that the official word from Paizo is the only official ruling out there, but don't forget, it's your game. Do whatever works best at your table.
Now, this is Pathfinder. When we're talking about monks, okay, we're not talking about the Franciscans with the potato sacks and the weird shaved circles on their head. No, no. We're talking about the mystical arts from faraway lands, the aesthetics who wield fists that stun and strike with ki. We're talking about monks, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much inspired by martial arts films and video games and all this other stuff. Monk is, I guess, if you would call it the martial artist, would probably come across more correctly for people, but monk is what it is. It's one word, so much easier to grasp, and holding on to a legacy from decades back at this point. It's the monk. I love it. I love it so much. They do everything Lauren says and more. I feel like the monk is one of the most versatile classes out there. It's second only to the fighter in my mind.
I've always felt like a lot of their strengths involve having great mobility and kind of having a unique answer to every problem.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about some monks, Lauren. Who are the monks out there? If someone says, tell me what a monk does, you'll say, oh, think of...
Well, so now here's the thing. Like, quote-unquote monk, or I like the way you said it better, martial artist. Mm-hmm. Man, these suckers are ubiquitous in pop culture, you know?
Absolutely.
You can't turn a page without seeing somebody who not only punches people, but who, like, thinks about it first. That's the difference between a monk and a fighter, right? Like, the monk, like, sits down and, like, contemplates the art of the punch. And in pop culture, our examples are everywhere. Like, literally any character that Jackie Chan or Bruce Lee has played is probably going to be some amount of monk.
Yeah, video games are chock full of them, and there's a whole genre dedicated to characters that are basically all monks. Any fighting game, Street Fighter or Tekken or anything else, just grab Ryu or Ken or any of the lead characters from those games and you have yourself a monk. A lot of comic book heroes as well. Someone like Daredevil probably exemplifies the monk feel very well. Yeah, monks everywhere. Jackie Chan, Bruce Lee. I just watched the Bruce Lee movie over the weekend, actually, so I'm just immersed in all this and ready to go with...
You know, speaking of Bruce, I feel like we have the best answer to the Batman test today. Maybe the most on-the-nose one.
Yes, speaking of comic book heroes and Bruce, Batman is like a monk in that he is very thoughtful and aware about his martial art techniques. He trained for many years learning how to use his body as a weapon, and boy, if that ever exemplifies a monk. He doesn't have any magical or mystical abilities in the form of ki power or anything, but I mean, he can build a monk without tapping into ki power at all and still be able to punch and kick and grapple with the best of them out there. So how is Batman like a monk? How is he not anything but a monk, right?
I honestly feel if I was sitting down to build Batman, I've done this before, not with Batman, but I like to, you know, build different characters, just see how it goes. But if I was sitting down to build Batman, I'd probably make him like a dual class. So he'd be both a monk and an investigator, I think.
That's a good call.
I think that'd be a great Batman, too.
I think so too. And Batman is probably the kind of hero that gets to cheat and do a dual class character build anyway.
That's what makes them superheroes, you know?
So on the other side of this exam test field, how is a Viking like a monk? Can you make a Viking monk, Lauren?
So this one was a little bit more of a stretch, but I do have answers, right? And they're not so here's when I'm coming up with an answer for the Viking test. I'm trying not to make, here is one character who is a Viking in this class. I don't want to do that. I want to come up with like an archetype, like a personal archetype, like these kinds of people in Viking society could be the monk. And I've got two examples here for that. One of them, all right, you've got the roustabout, who hangs out in the longhouse drinking too much mead and just likes to start fighting people, right? The person whose life is so bad that this is what they live for. Like maybe they're covering up some of their own insecurities by being at the longhouse and fighting people. I feel like that was probably a common thing, you know? The reason I give them some insecurities, though, is that way they think about it at night. They think about the brawls that they've been in, and it makes them feel warm and better about it, you know. That one's fine. I'm not crazy about that one. I like my next one better. You're professional athletes of Viking society. Hey, yeah. Those would definitely be monks, right? No reason they couldn't have professional sports.
What kind of sports do Vikings play then?
You know, wrestling.
Wrestling, yeah. That works. I think so. I guess we didn't go really deep into how monks fit into Pathfinder. So monks are a martial class, which is typically the name used for people who don't cast spells. The monk does have access to magical powers. In Pathfinder at the very least. But in terms of their role in combat and whatnot, I feel that monks are very much the mobility focused class, at least based on what their abilities provide. They get bonuses to speed, they don't wear heavy armor, they tend to have good saves of any kind depending on how you want to build them, so they're flexible and they're mobile and kind of fitting of like can kind of match whatever a monk needs. They're the kind of versatile martial class of the game. It compared to, you know, raw damage in Barbarian or raw accuracy with the fighter.
Yeah. So, to kind of put all this in perspective, let's go ahead and get into what the monk actually does mechanically in Pathfinder 2nd Edition. You can pick between Strength or Dexterity as your key ability score, so you can have the flexibility to kind of build them how you like. You're going to get 10 hit points per level this time, which is nice. It's a step up and it puts you on par with the hit points of a fighter.
Yeah, you begin trained in perception and your saving throws are pretty amazing when you look at it. You start off as an expert in all three saving throws rather than having one just trained and the other two expert or something like that. You're an expert at the gate. Your body is perfect. Your mind is perfect. At least that's what the flavor suggests. And beyond that, you are trained in a number of skills equal to 4 plus your intelligence modifier. You are also very knowledgeable.
You're trained in simple weapons, but you're probably not going to use too many of them. You're also trained in unarmed attacks, which most Vikings, most monks are going to use a lot of them. maybe a lot of Vikings too. You are not trained in armor. Don't wear it. Don't put on that breastplate. But you're already out the gate an expert in unarmored defense. So it's almost like, again, like your mobility, your speed, your aesthetic mind is giving you just a flat +2 right out the gate. You are also trained in the monk class DC, which you might get a lot of mileage out of, depending on how you build it.
So once you pick your ancestry and your background and grab your proficiencies, the first thing you're going to grab is a little action called Flurry of Blows. It is a one action. It uses one action to activate your Flurry of Blows. And what you do is you make 2 strikes. So you get 2 attacks for the price of 1 action. You still have to worry about your multiple attack penalty and anything. If you happen to hit the same target with both of those strikes, you add the damage together for the purposes of resistances and weaknesses. And you do have to worry about the fact that it has a flourish trait, which means you can only use it once per round. But Flurry of Blows is kind of there to lean into that mobility, flexibility aspect where you might have to spend two actions to move up on someone, but still get two attacks in one go because of your lightning speed with your blows.
Flurry of Blows defines the monk so well that it's almost the only feature that every monk build not only has, but also likely uses. And the class feats going throughout it just give you more and more ways to expand upon your Flurry of Blows. You also are going to get a powerful fist, which means that your unarmed strikes will deal D6 damage instead of only the little D4. And you're also able to not take the -2 penalty for making a lethal attack, which other folks have to do.
Yeah, and it specifically calls out that you don't take that penalty with your fist or with any kind of unarmed attack. So if you want to headbutt people, or if you want to kick people, or if you want to elbow whatever body part you decide, breakdance all over your enemies, and you're still not worrying about taking that penalty at all. So that's fun.
Sometimes when I'm watching my dogs fight, the big white one will walk over to the big black one, and he'll just whack her with his butt. It's an unarmed strike. You could be Big Booty Judy and just hit people with your butt.
There you go. At third level, you start to move like the wind because of your incredible movement. You gain a +10-foot status bonus to your speed when you're not wearing armor. So just you're faster. If you are a human, you're suddenly moving at 35 feet rather than 25 feet, and so on and so forth. This bonus does increase by an additional 5 feet every 4 levels, so 7th, 11th, 15th, and 19th. So by the end of it, you're getting a +30-foot status bonus to your speed. Do keep in mind, it is a status bonus, so if anything else is trying to give you a status bonus to your speed, it won't stack with this. But for the most part, it's just always on, and you're probably going to be doing better than whatever buff or spell is trying to give you a bonus to speed anyway, so you're going to be fast and probably get to do a lot with that as well.
Float like a butterfly right there. At third and ninth level, you can sting like a bee, because at third level, your unarmed attacks become magical for the purpose of overcoming damage resistances, and at ninth level, it becomes rare metals like cold iron and silver.
So looking back real quick, at 7th level, you have your first path to perfection. Normally, a class will say, hey, by this point, you're going to increase your fortitude proficiency or your will proficiency. Monks, again, are flexible and can kind of choose to do whatever the heck they want. They get to choose which saving throw improves. You choose fortitude, reflex, or will, and that increases to master proficiency. And you kind of build however you need it to. So if you are focused on constitution and feel like, oh, I'm lacking in dexterity, so I'll improve my reflex or something like that. And it's going to happen again at 11th level with your second path to perfection. You just pick something you didn't pick at 7th level, and that also increases to master. So you're kind of building the build you want for your particular monk.
And then rounding it all out at 15th level, you get the third and the final path to perfection.
Yeah, in that case, you are picking one of your two that you pick from your path to perfection and boosting that up to legendary. I just think that's amazing, being able to be that flexible and kind of make things how you want. I really enjoy the monk with everything they do. After that, 17th level, you are, I guess, stinging harder than a bee at that point. Like a wasp, maybe a super wasp.
Oh, a super. A murder hornet.
Murder hornet. Your attacks, your unarmed attacks, are treated as adamantine for the purposes of resistances and the like. So you are a rare metal in living body, in living human form at that point.
If you choose to play a human, that is.
If you play a human, yes.
At 19th level, as a monk, you get one of the coolest features there is. for your first attack of a round. If you roll less than a 10, you get a 10 instead. Guys, this is like take 10, but better. This is like, I don't even know how to say. It is form perfected. Almost literally, because it's called perfected form at 19th level.
Do you remember in 4th edition D&D, there was the brutal trait for weapons? Do you remember that?
Vaguely. I played a tiny bit of 4th
edition. Okay, so 4th edition had some weapons that were so strong, they had this brutal property. So something like a greatsword, which normally does a d12 damage, had what's called brutal 2, which says if you roll a 1 or a 2 on your damage die, you re-roll until you get something that's higher than a 1 or a 2. So effectively, your strikes have become so brutal that you can't roll anything worse than a 10 at this point. And it's just... nothing in the game does anything like this. This is the only time something like this happens in Pathfinder 2nd Edition. Which tells you a lot about like just how perfect the monk has become by 19th level.
Yeah, that's real. This is something that I just think is so cool. Mm-hmm. But speaking of stuff that is so cool, Luis, you're a fan of the monk, yes. Right? Monk's really not one of my flavors. It's not my go-to. I kind of struggle coming up with builds, which is why I think I'm going to go first this time.
Okay.
That way, if I let you and the listeners down, then they can listen. They can save the best for last.
I feel like you're now hyping up my build, which I just didn't put that much thought into. So
I have so much faith in you. Complete and utter faith.
All right.
So, coming up with a build was kind of tough for me because I like to first think about a character, think about what they do, and then find the components that works. But since Monk isn't really one of my go-to flavors, it's really tough for me to come up with a character idea in my head to apply Monk to, except for one. There's one character I've been kicking around in my head for years now. Luis, do you remember the show Into the Badlands?
I've heard of this show. I never actually watched it myself.
Yeah. The main character was obviously a monk. But he was whatever. I didn't like him. He's not the character. And then like the primary antagonist, I think, was like this racist plantation owner or something. I don't remember a lot. I didn't like him either. But there was one character. There was one like mini boss or something. And she was like a crime boss or something. And she'd like dart around and she had these knives. She was basically a monk with knives. And I thought that was so cool. Everybody in that show was a monk, but she was the knife monk. And I've always wanted to make a character like that. So that's what I have brought today. I have brought to you kind of, I don't know, a knife monk. At first, I have to, look, don't criticize me for taking humans so much. Sometimes you have to take them, especially for complicated builds, right? On this one, I have to take human because, what's that called? Natural ambition. Yeah, it gives you that extra class feed at first level. So at first level, I'm taking monastic weaponry so that I can use shurikens. I've heard other people say that a lot of different ways. I'm pretty sure the way you say it is shurikens.
Sure.
Yeah. Shuriken. That's cute. Okay. So that way we can use shurikens as all part of like our unarmed strikes and stuff. And I'm taking key rush so we can get around real fast. Because part of this idea is that you just dart around all over the place. You get behind them and you just stab them. Now, and even though I said the word shuriken, I'm not flavoring them like that. I'm going to use a stat line for shurikens, but they're just knives. That's what we're going to do. They're just knives. Like little like kitchen knives or something. I don't know. So we've got monastic weaponry so we can use our knives. We've got key rush. At second level, we're taking shooting stars stance. That way we can throw our knives as part of flurry of blows or any of the other things related to flurry of blows. Fourth level, I'm going into rogue dedication because you need a lot of skills to do all this crazy like acrobatics and like movement stuff. So Rogue's going to help us get into skills, but it's also going to give us more bread and butter. Sneak attacker. Oh, I love it. So if I come up behind somebody and I just like, shuriken, 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 bam, 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 sneak attack, sneak attack, sneak attack. Starts to add up real quick. Eighth level, I'm going into skill mastery because, again, I need just like a ton of skills. And 10th level, I'm going with pinning fire so that if I hit with both of my thrown knives, I can pin them to the ground and force them to waste an action. And there's a little bit of wiggle room here. If I was gearing up to play in a campaign, I might consider switching one of these for stunning fist, because that would also work with throwing shurikens. That'd be pretty cool. A lot of great debuffs. And for non-class feats, I'm just going to mention real quick. I'm taking prescient planning and multi-talented, the rogue dedication. The free archetype feat, or the free multi-class archetype feat. Yeah, because this gives us hunt prey, and it lets us have whatever tool we need. So this is also kind of just a ninja
lore
as well. What?
You said rogue dedication. Did you mean the ranger dedication?
Yes, I did mean the ranger dedication, because it gives you hunt prey.
Uh-huh.
So we have two dedications, rogue and ranger.
Are you a dexterity focus then, monk?
I think the build ends up with a dex of 20 and a strength of 18.
So dex is your key ability score then?
Dex is key.
Okay. Which is good, because I feel like whenever we have this option between strength or dex, we end up making alternate builds, because I'm focusing on strength for mine. So I am, again, suggesting you play whatever ancestry you want. Be your sprite monk if you like. Yeah, whatever.
So awesome too, by the way.
Be your sprite monk, but I had recently watched Enter the Dragon over the weekend with Bruce Lee in it, and someone asked him, "What is your style?" And he says, "My style is fighting without fighting, the style of no style." And I love that. You know, that's the thing that Jackie Chan does a lot. He tries to have no trouble and not get into fights and just avoid fights and not actually hurt people. So I was going into that, into my build, thinking I'll try to see what I can do to avoid hurting people. Maybe
this
still
is so cool.
Maybe stop them in the fight, right? But not necessarily hurt them or beat them up or anything. So I'm going with a strength-focused monk. Be whatever ancestry you want. At first level, I am taking mountain stance. While you are in mountain stance, you get a +4 status bonus to your AC and a bonus to avoid being shoved or tripped, and also your dexterity modifier cap becomes +0. I recommend at least keeping +1 to your dex, only because it still helps your reflex saves and stuff like that, and something else down the line. But you are unarmored, but you can't be moved, and your mountain stance still protects you and defends you when it comes time to get into combat. And that kind of leans into the I don't want to be hit, I don't want to get into a fight idea. At second level, we're going to take crushing grab, which says when you grapple a creature, you can deal bludgeoning damage equal to your strength modifier, and you can make it non-lethal as well, so you can subdue people while grappling them. At fourth level, you have Flurry of Maneuvers, which lets you replace one or both of your strikes with either a trip, a grapple, or a shove. So you can run in, trip a guy, and then grab him immediately, or trip two guys around you, or punch and then grapple a guy, however you want to mix that up. But I like just using the quote-unquote combat maneuvers a lot more than just straight-up punching guys, because, I don't know, I don't want to hurt people sometimes. And it's all the different conditions like prone and grabbed and stuff are really interesting and very useful in Pathfinder 2nd Edition. At 6th level, we're going to continue focusing on our mountain stance with Mountain Stronghold. You take an action and give yourself a +2 circumstance bonus to your AC until the beginning of your next turn. And the dex cap on your mountain stance goes from +0 to +1. So now that point of dexterity is coming in useful and giving you even more to your defenses. 8th level, we're kind of overlapping with what Flurry of Maneuvers grants you by taking Mixed Maneuvers, spend 2 actions, and you can choose to do a grapple, shove, or trip, and do 2 of those in any combination. But your multiple attack penalty doesn't apply to those. So you can grab someone, trip someone, whatever, and then afterwards do a flurry of blows to do two more of those, if you were so inclined. At this point, you probably have picked up assurance in athletics, so even your extra two flurry maneuvers, you can just use assurance to probably be pretty successful at them. So there, you could trip like four guys at once, and that'd be pretty fun. And finally, at 10th level, we are going to take Sleeper Hold, which requires you to have someone grappled or restrained, and you try to basically knock them out. On a critical success, they fall unconscious for a minute, and you've subdued them, and you did it. You managed to fight without fighting, and live up to that reputation of the style of no style. One other thing I want to point out is that there is a message board thread on the Paizo boards called 101 Monk Builds that's being led by Pathfinder designer Mike Sayre, who I think loves the monk 10 times more than I ever could. And if you want more ideas for monk builds, that's probably got so many things in there that you can check out.
What I love about your build, Luis, is I kind of forgot how good the monk is at all of the different combat maneuvers and tripping people and disarming people. And at my, I also love how we don't really coordinate our builds, but we always come up with wildly different things despite being the same class. This is just yet another example of how good 2E is at this. Just letting you play completely different things despite being the same class. But this has been a good stance, but it's time to spin one action and switch to the answer question stance. From patron Jaina B, is the key monk still, is a key spell monk still as mad as it was in first edition? And if so, is that a problem?
Lauren, what does mad mean?
I don't know. I thought it just meant like, is it still as awesome? Is it still is just totally OP?
Well, then let me quickly clarify what mad means in this instance. In Pathfinder and other RPGs.
Let me guess.
Yes.
Multi attribute dependent.
Yes, correct.
Ah, I knew something.
Exactly. Monks in first edition were notorious for having to need high strength for damage and high dex for their AC and high con for their HP and also high wisdom for their other stuff. So that's four ability scores you had to rely upon. That's I don't think so much the case anymore with the second edition monk. You can probably get away with doing a dex focused monk and then secondary your stat would be wisdom for a number of reasons. First off, your ability score boosts over your career are going to increase everything over time, so you're not going to have to worry so much about losing out on potential ability score on your ability score potential over the time of your career. Additionally, you don't roll for hit points anymore. You're always going to be getting your 10 hit points, which is very good, even if you get nothing with your constitution. If you have a +0 on your con, you're still doing pretty great, all things considered. It would be nice to have an extra 1 or 2 or 3 points per level, but eventually, with enough boosts, you're going to make that up anyway. So, no, if they are multiple ability score dependent, I think it would be at early levels. But past 5th level and the like, you're probably pretty good. So, make a dex monk, focus on wisdom, and actually, now that I think about it, yeah, you can probably be a monk that has key spells that don't target or do attacks. So there's the key strike spell that just empowers your punches, or the one that lets you move quickly, and things like that, like the wind stance one that lets you fly. Those all don't rely on you attacking or using your wisdom for anything. So depending on what spells you take, you can even ignore your wisdom as well.
Isn't your class DC based on your key ability score, though?
Your class DC is, but your spell DC for your monk spells is based on wisdom per
errata. Oh, that's right. Okay.
So, you're probably set. You can be a key monk and find different ways to do it and not worry about your ability score so much.
That's right. From user Brian Lane, is it worthwhile for a monk to take more than one stance feat?
It Depends. I think there is a feat that lets you be in two stances at once. Yes, it's a master of many styles. Is that right? No, hold on.
I'm looking for it. Yeah, there is one. Yeah, master of many styles, 16th level.
Oh, no, you need the stance savant feat. No, that's right. Wait, what? Hold on. I could have sworn there was one that is get two stances at once.
So stance savant gives you can enter your stance without a thought when you roll for initiative.
Yeah,
master of many styles comes after that. You can use an action with the stance trait as a free action. So you can go between styles as needed.
That's what it is.
For free.
You can move between styles. And I think it depends on what you're trying to do. And there's also the fuse stance feat at 20th level that lets you get the benefit of both. Depending on what you want to do, I can totally see someone focusing on something like the dragon stance to get cool damage and then switching to something like the mountain stance at the end of their turn so they have more AC when it's not their turn, or switching to some of the higher level stances like the tangled forest stance so they can keep enemies locked down. I think you can definitely do it. It will just not be... It will be hard to manage until those higher level feats come into play, I feel.
And I definitely want to say, if you're asking if it's worthwhile for a monk to take more than one stance feat, I think you're really asking if it's viable to. Because it's not going to be worthwhile for a monk who specializes in something like throwing shurikens, but for a monk who wants to do all kinds of different styles, yeah. It'll be very worthwhile, and good thing about second edition is most builds are very viable.
I have a question here from fellow KD member Alexander Agunis, who asks, how does Pathfinder handle monks being more than the Eastern class, which is usually what happens to them in other games?
So, I don't think this is really on the onus of, say, Pathfinder or Paizo. This really comes down to the players and the GMs who run them. You know? And you really have to take a step back, okay? Luis said it best. When we're talking about monks, we're talking about martial artists, okay? And predominantly in our pop culture, most of the time that you see a martial artist, it is going to be something like Enter the Dragon, you know? But it doesn't have to be. Daredevil was a great example of just a pure martial artist who's not necessarily a stereotype. This just comes down to kind of knowing your players or knowing your table and just kind of teaching people a better way to do it if you're really not into that.
Yeah, Pathfinder does have a lot of feats and options that lean into that kind of mysticism, you know, Asian-inspired martial arts theme for the class. So, you know, everything being a stance and a style kind of leans into that a bit. But there are other feats and stuff that don't have that, I guess, flavor baggage, if you will. Something like the crushing grab. Anyone can be, you know, holding someone and like, grappling them so tight that it hurts, right? Whether or not they are a monk or martial arts inspired or kung fu inspired or anything like that. Something like a flying kick. Anyone can jump into the air and kick someone in the face. It's not a uniquely Eastern thing. So there is already some flavor and forms of options there that are leaning away from that. And I think it wouldn't be too hard to step back the flavor into something more generic or more focused on just brawling and stuff with the monk class, if you were so inclined.
I think it'd be so easy to take something like the dragon stance and say, I don't really feel like being like this Eastern monk, I want more of a Brooklyn style boxer, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can just say, I'm not using the dragon stance, I'm taking the Brooklyn stance. Yeah. You know, I'm not making lashing tail attacks, I'm making haymakers or something, you know? You do what you want. Just change the names and make it whatever flavor you want it to be. I literally just, you know, said, I'm changing shurikens into daggers, fight me, you know? You do what you want. It's a role-playing game.
So we didn't have many other questions. That's it for the questions. But I do have a question for you, Lauren, before
we
go. Oh, yes. Aha. Put you on the spot. You and I have talked about our classes that we like most and our least favorite classes and the like. And you said Monk is kind of low on the list for your in terms of classes that you're really into.
It's not as low as Bard, but it's still down there.
What do you think they could add to the Monk to make it something that you feel like you would enjoy more? If there's something that you can think of, that's fine. If you're like, I'd rather just play a fighter who punches people and focuses on that, great. But
is this Paizo developer?
No, this is
Luis, or is this friend Luis?
This is just friend Luis.
Okay.
This is legendary Luis asking you.
A lot of times when I try to make a lot of Monk builds, but I end up deleting them real quick because they just don't do what I want them to do. I often feel like I'm kind of shoehorned into different things I'm not interested in. This was my same problem with Druids for the longest time until 2A came out and they took away shapeshifting. Like, shapeshifting was always like a core class feature to Druids. And so I felt like if I didn't want to shapeshift, I wasn't doing the Druid right, you know?
So you feel like maybe decoupling something like the unarmed attacks from the core of the class?
Well, we're getting there. Like, monastic, like, look, I even went into monastic weaponry for my build because I like that kind of stuff. I like weapons. I'm not really... I think that's what it is. The reason I don't like Bard is because I can't picture everybody gearing up in their epic montage, like, oiling the longsword and, like, equipping their heavy armor, getting the sturdy shield, and then some guy in a puffy shirt picks up his loot. Like, I can't see that for gearing up to fight a dragon. In the same way, I can't see somebody sensibly saying, we're going to fight this dragon, I'm going to punch it until it dies. That's just
I'm gonna punch it while having my shirt off.
Yeah, I can't get behind it. And so for options like this where I can kind of take the monk and I can put at least a weapon in their hand, I'm on board for that. I like that.
So what if powerful fist change from, hey, your unarmed attack goes from 1d4 to 1d6 to choose either unarmed attacks or a simple weapon. That is the weapon of your training, and that goes up by a die or something, and all the stuff that keys off of unarmed attacks keys off your like chosen weapon type or something. Well, would that maybe do it?
That'd probably do it, yeah.
Yeah, a master of a particular style rather than...
Or even better, I'd like it more if it was like choose a weapon you're trained in. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest things that they did in this edition is they uncoupled stuff like weapon focus and weapon specialization to specific weapons. We do have a little bit when you get into like the fighter weapon groups. But even still, if your fighter weapon group has chosen bow and you pick up a longsword, you're still going to absolutely wreck face with it, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I think that we could do something similar. I like it. I think that's a good suggestion.
Well, maybe someone out there will take the time to do that as like a fun third party thing, or you can do that in your home campaigns. I like the monk as it is right now, but that's because I grew up on Street Fighter and absolutely love being able to shoot blasts of energy out of my hands and punch dudes. So I'll keep the monk as it is if you want. I'd be just fine.
I grew up on Baldur's Gate 1 and then Baldur's Gate 2. And the monk wasn't introduced until much later.
Yeah.
Much later. I think it was re-releases where they finally brought in the monk there. Yeah. I just didn't grow up with it, I don't think.
That's all right. We can have this discussion again where we trade places and I complain about the Ranger in a few episodes.
I like the Ranger. Look, okay. we'll have to talk about this some more. But that's all we have for you today. Make sure to check out the rest of our content on the No Direction Network. If you like this show or any of our other blogs or shows, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/nodirection because it's the support of our patrons.
Until next time, I'm Luis.
And I'm Lauren.
Thanks for listening to Legend Lore, and as always, it's been legendary.